Hello, and we are live for episode 2 on our series From Chef to Business Innovator and From Chef to Entrepreneur. I'm joined by my co-host, Chef Lawrence. Welcome for being here.
Thank you.
With that, let's get started. Hello and welcome again. My name is Christian Fischer. I'm the host of the Disruptive Chef Entrepreneur Show. I'm joined here by my co-host, Chef Lawrence. And today we have episode 2 on our series From Chef to Entrepreneur, From Chef to Business Professional. Chef Lawrence, how was your week so far?
Week is going very well. I just had some fun with Toastmasters yesterday and gave an inspiring speak that's very much aligned with what we're going to be talking about today. So can't wait to get into it.
I love that. So today for our audience, we want to talk about what it takes to be part of a like-minded community. Just not what it takes, why every professional, if you're a culinarian, hospitality professional, any other industry, you need to belong to a community of right. Not just right-minded, but like-minded individuals, because for me, that was one of my unfair advantages from everybody else. I belonged always to a group which thought different than I did. And by default, when you hang around people which think different and talk different, eventually you will think different. If you think different, you will take different actions. If you take different actions, you will have different outcomes. If you have different outcomes, you have a whole new life. So with that, Chef Lawrence will hit it off because he just said he had a really good event with the Toastmasters. So Chef, take it away.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been involved with Toastmasters for some time now. And again, it's like-minded people. It's people that want to enhance their communication skills. They want to be able to run better meetings. They want to be able to more freely communicate their ideas. And so it's a very supportive group to be able to enhance those, as in the corporate world, they call it soft skills, yeah, to be able to know how to communicate and how to encourage other people and know how to effectively be able to disagree with someone, but make the other people feel like you're kind of, you know, not attacking them, but you're able to take the idea or the discussion and put it to the side, and you can talk about it on the side but not feel like there's a personal connection with that topic. So yeah, it was just a great week. And so I really enjoy being around these people because they think just like me, and I'm feeling like my personal growth just exponentially increasing just by being involved with this group.
I love that. So for the listeners which never heard of Toastmasters, can you tell them a little bit what Toastmasters is, what it stands for, and how they contribute?
Yeah, Toastmasters, it's an international organization. It's been around for a very long time. It focuses on public speaking, but they have adjusted themselves to not just public speaking, but a lot of businesses or a lot of meetings are held on Zoom. So how do you effectively hold a Zoom meeting? Or if you're doing a hybrid meeting, how do you effectively run a meeting where you have people in person and people on Zoom? How do you utilize technology? How to formulate your ideas and be able to freely express them to, you know, to an audience? So it does a lot to help you with your intercommunication skills and to be able to motivate other people behind your ideas. So it has tracks on being an effective leader. It has a track on how to be an effective speech and debate. So whatever you're interested in your communication skills, Toastmasters has a pathway for you.
I absolutely love that. And Toastmasters, I have never been to one. I have worked with a few different people which have done that. And for me, I always feel it should be one of my things. Actually, I'll make a note. I'll make it on one
you
of my
should. Things. Yeah, make a note.
So today I want to stay with the format we always have. I have 8 points I want to talk about why it is important to belong to a group like this. If it's a mastermind, if it's a Toastmaster, if it's, you know, a chef's organization, it doesn't really matter. I honestly believe we all need to be around like-minded people, not just to kind of lift our spirits up. For me, there is this power of camaraderie, and we always need, and we talk about it a little bit later, is we all need somebody who holds us accountable, and we will do more for others than we do for ourselves. So for me, number one reason it's really important to be part of that. So my first point is why every chef should be part of a group like this is because of shared knowledge and growth. And it's as simple as that, you know, because you gain some valuable insights and some industry trends. You know, if you're around people, you don't need to read every magazine because people will tell you. And also, if you value them, they kind of look at this differently. And then also, it allows you to experience some personal and professional growth. How do you feel about point number one around shared knowledge and growth?
Actually, Chef, I think we just lost your sound. There we go.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah. So how do you feel about shared knowledge and growth?
I mean, it's a necessity. I mean, you can go through your whole life just trying to do everything on your own and read a book or listen to a podcast or just like you're listening to right now, which is fantastic. But you're missing that interactive part where what if all of a sudden you had an idea and you wanted to run it past someone? It's nice to be part of a group where that you can go in and share a thought or an idea or ask a question and have like-minded people kind of give you real-time response, or people that have already been there and done that and kind of help lessen that learning curve for you. For many years, I mean, I think I mentioned this in another podcast, when I started my food business 20 years ago, I thought that I can do this all on my own. I mean, I wasn't formally trained. I didn't go to culinary school. I just thought that I can figure it out. And I spun my wheels for a while until I found a group of people that I can just freely ask questions on how to, you know, one of the examples is how do you scale a recipe? I mean, you come up with a recipe at home that feeds your family of four, fantastic, but now I got to feed it to 100. How do you scale a recipe? I mean, that took me a while to figure out, but when I asked that question to one other chef within 15 minutes, show me how to do it. Actually, show me a piece of software to help me do it. So
I love that because people think I just up it, you know, but that's not the way a recipe works, especially around spices. You can't double a spice, a pepper, for an example. That's not just the way it works.
Well, you know what, Chef, we can actually use that scaling a recipe in life. Like, how do you scale your life? I mean, do you just double the amount of time? Do you just double the amount of books you read? Is that going to scale your life? No. Maybe just read the same amount of books, but have other people around you that can help you take out that content and show you how it applies in different ways of your life. So it's scaling a recipe is like scaling your life.
I love that because that's a really simple trick. I teach this to our clients all the time and I practice it. It's really simple. All you need to do, and everybody write that down. All you need to do, whatever your subject is, whatever your expertise is, wherever you want to be a subject matter expert, all you need to do is you need to read an hour a week in your field. And if you read an hour a week, it will kind of get your wheels going, and not just only having that knowledge. And when you hang out with the right people, people think, oh, an hour is not enough. Some people say you need to do it 30 minutes a day. I don't think you need to do 30 minutes a day. I think if you do an hour a week in your subject and you hang out with the like-minded people and you talk about what you read, they will share some of their stuff and you get their expertise and their insight. So for me, you need to join a group. Don't tell anybody, okay? Join a group and make sure you read an hour a week in your field, and you will see in 6 months, you're a totally different person.
Exactly. And that group can probably tell you what book to read for that 1 hour a week as well. I mean, there's a lot of content. Yeah, that helps.
Yeah, you and I talk about this all the time. I have a handful of books I was exposed to through you. And I think we all need that because I think you and I think alike and we want to, you know, get the same outcome for the industry. But the way you do it with some of your books, it totally opened up my thinking to a whole different way. So I absolutely recommend that, which brings us into point number two is the power of the support system around a group like that. What is your thought around the support system of a support group or a mastermind or whatever you want to belong to?
Well, I mean, it ties right back into, you know, point number one, you know, every professional surrounds themselves with other like-minded people. I mean, have the power of a support group is there's a point where we've done our masterminds where someone comes in to the room with a question, and then one person answers that question, then the next person answers the question, and then exponentially the idea just gets answered in many different types of angles, to where all of a sudden that person who asked the question has this aha moment that they probably wouldn't have come to on their own unless they were part of a group. So it's just exponentially, the energy just builds on each other. Not only did the person who brought the question to the room also learn something, but everyone else who is answering it comes away from learning it as well. So the power of the group is not only for you to get answers to questions that you may have, but when you're contributing as well in answering other people's questions, by being the role of the teacher, you're also learning and reinforcing the things that you've already known, even exponentially as well. So it's like everyone wins. It's a fantastic, if you haven't been in it, you got to try it once, because you're going to walk away going, wow, this was so encouraging, especially when you have the right group that's there to help you become successful.
Love that. Can't add any more. You said it all. Awesome. Thank you. Point number three is networking, and not just business opportunities, is business all around. And for me, being part of a group like this is, it allows you, and I was used just this week alone. I connected on a podcast with a friend of mine who is a restaurant consultant. And through this, you know, we just connected. He said, "Christian, you know what? I like the way you think. Can you come on my podcast on Thursday?" And I have other three individuals there. One of them is J.D. I call him, he's the Howard Stern of the food service industry, because he is Canada's restaurant guy. His name is Jay. So he was on it. And then a really amazing consultant, his name is Scott, and there was some other person. And so we go on this on Thursday. We hang up afterwards. Scott says, "You need to come on my podcast." I was on the podcast the very same time on him on Thursday, because he's on a different time zone. We did another podcast. And then I heard from Jay, and Jay said, "You know what? Thursday night, I do a late night podcast. Can you come on my late night podcast?" So I was that day on three different podcasts. And I got already, you know, emails from different people saying, "Hey, you are amazing on this podcast. I want to know more about you." So for me, there's real power in being part of a group. And the reason I call it networking and other opportunities, because if you put yourself out there, and you do it, because I first wasn't sure, you know, on how to do it. But if you put yourself out there and really network and provide value into the conversation and contribute, amazing things happen. How do you feel about that?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. I mean, it's part of what you were just, the one word that comes to my mind when you were describing your experience with the podcast is vulnerability, being vulnerable, putting yourself out there. And that's part of, like, going back to Toastmasters, when I joined Toastmasters, they teach you how to be vulnerable, how you put yourself out there. And once you do, you realize that what you're experiencing, other people have already gone through it or going through the same thing. So you're not the same. You're not the only one person going through whatever experience that you're having at this point. Everyone else is going through it as well, or has gone through it. So yeah, being vulnerable, putting yourself out there, being known for what, if you want to be known for something, you can't become known for that unless you put yourself out there and let people know, this is what I want to become.
I love that. So true. And it was interesting being on the first podcast yesterday. So this guy Jay did 1500 podcasts over the last 2 years, 1500. Wow. And he does the marketing on his own. He does the editing on his own. He's, by the way, has a full-time job, you know? And I think his stuff looks awesome. And I learned so much just by listening. And I every time you talk about Toastmasters, for me, is I think there's also power in actively listening. And Toastmaster, yours tells you how to do this. And then also when Scott spoke, and the way he, because he has his own business, he's very intentional how he spends time with the family, how he runs his business. I took a page and a half notes. And after this podcast was done, I was like, what can I implement today to get some results? And for me, it's powerful. Every time you talk about the whole thing with the networking, and not just the networking and having that group of Toastmasters. I think there's just so much power in that, in the vulnerability and putting yourself out there, which brings us to point number four, which is accountability and motivation. Mm-hmm. And for me, I think this is the greatest thing about it. In one of my blogs, I talked about that, you know, hopefully none of my friends are listening, but I kind of put my friends in different categories. And when I need somebody who allows me to bitch, I know exactly who to call. If I need somebody to be motivated, I know who to call. If I feel like I need somebody to hold me accountable, I know who to call. And for me, there's just so much power around that, because you are surrounded with so many great people. If you, I'm talking, let's say our mastermind. So if anybody, by the way, listening is interested to be part of our mastermind, we had to disrupt the mastermind, and be more than happy to have you, you know, as our guest to just test drive it. But even with our group, we have somebody who's amazing in accountability. We have somebody who's amazing in motivation. And for me, I do this with my friends. I kind of put them in these categories because it's so much easier to call their person when you know what to expect. What are your thoughts around that?
Yeah, I mean, so I'm the same way. And I actually have one friend. When there's certain like current events going on in the world, I like his perspective, but I've got to plan 45 minutes of my time before I call him, because I know that's what amount of time it's going to be. And then I do have some friends to where if I just want to get a laugh for 10, 15 minutes, I know I can call this person because they don't like talking any more than that, but they can put me in a right mood for the day. And so I'm right there along with you. And so it's funny that you categorize your friends very similar to as I do.
I don't know what to call it, but it is categorizing. I'm sorry.
It is.
If any of my friends, please let me know. I tell you which category you're in. And then also, we talked briefly about that earlier, but point number five is there's a huge diversity around thought processes being part of a group. And, you know, I look at you as an example. You have such a well-rounded way about you. And there's so many things which come natural to you. And for me, every time I hang out with you, it helps me to think differently. And I think there's huge power in diversity of thought.
Yeah, I mean, you can't just, if you surround yourself with everyone, like, well, in the very beginning, it says, you know, surrounding yourself with like-minded people. Mm-hmm. Let's look at what that means, like-minded people. Do you want to be around just people who have your set of values? I mean, well, I guess you want people to have set of, do you want everyone to look at the world through the same way as you do? Because that's just going to skew how you do things. You're not going to be effective because you want other people to bring other perspectives that have other point of views. So it's very important to be able to surround yourself with other like-minded people, and like-minded meaning other people who value looking at things from different perspectives.
I love that. And many years ago, my very first executive chef job, I was 25, got my very first executive chef job. The food and beverage director was a friend of mine, and I felt I needed to please him. You know, every time he said something, and I was like, yeah, I agree with that. So, and then he was like 30 years my senior. And so we putting out a banquet, I'm slicing the filet, we put the banquet, and halfway through it, he says, Christian, I need to show you something. Come in the back. In the back of the kitchen, he had this little stool standing. He says, stand on the stool and look around for 2 minutes and then meet me in the office. So I'm looking around, meeting him in the office. He says, what did you see? I says, oh, there's this guy cutting off the filet for me because I didn't cut the filet, you know, because I even in the end, and I see that guy do that. And that guy, he says, good. You know what I see when I stand back there? What I see is that you can see fucking shit when you slice the filet. Okay. Get somebody to slice the filet for you. And then I said, yeah, I agree with that. He said, stop agreeing with me, because if we agree on both of us, there's no need for one of us. So don't make me fire you. I was like, hurt, you know? And it was so true. And I was like, absolutely right. I mean, it's, you know, tough love, but he was so true. He says, you know, and it made me a different chef because of that different thought. He thought about it. Christian, I didn't hire you to slide the fillet. I know you can do an amazing job. I need you to teach somebody to do what you do. And for me, being my first chef, nobody ever taught me how to be a chef, you know? So for me, diversity of thought, every time I talk about this, I think about this because he says, you know what, Christian, what I see is that you can see effing shit when you cut the fillet. I was like, damn right. And so many times. Go ahead.
No, I mean, I had a similar experience with the new job that I started 2 years ago with Bronzerie, where the owner was kind of telling me, like, he wanted me to kind of agree with his point of view of how to run the company. And I told him, I go, listen, you hired me to bring this company in a different direction. So I'm not going to agree with you on everything on all your ideas. And if you don't like it, I can just leave. Mm-hmm. And so when you stand your ground like that, people will listen to you more and they want to hear your perspective because they feel like, oh my gosh, this person is coming from a really strong source of confidence. So I better listen to what they have to say because I can learn something here too. So, yeah, that's funny. I love that. I'm going to use that analogy. It's like, I'm going to teach someone else to cut my fillet. You know, it's like,
and you know what? Now this is so many years ago and I still think about it because even... with me, I'm not really good at marketing and, you know, having somebody in the office who is so much better at it, you know, even so. And then also for me, the whole agreeing with him, and I was like, I don't understand, you know, and he said, this is as simple. He says, I hired you because of what you bring to the table and who you are as a person. I want to have a conversation. If you disagree, let's disagree. If you agree. And that happens. But he says, I want to know how you think so I know how to support you. Mm. And I was like, oh my God, nobody ever said that to me, you know? And he says, I want to know what you think so I can support you. And for me, I thought it was a weakness, you know? And we need to do more of that. And it changed who I was, not just as a chef, it changed the way I was as a person because those principles work if I hang out with my friends, if I hang out with my kids, if I hang out with my wife, the principles work. If you're honest and you're just honest, people know how to support you. So for me, that's super powerful, which brings me into number six. It's not really a point. It's more a recommendation. Any of the organizations or groups you go to, please actively contribute because if not, you will get nothing out of it. And we see it in our mastermind, the people which come and leave are the people which don't contribute. And at first I took it personal because I says, didn't I provide enough value for them to stay? And what I realized is if they don't contribute, they don't get valuable feedback back and then they get nothing out of the group. So if you part of anything, actively contribute. And what is your thought process around that?
The first thing that came to my mind is a group that I'm also involved with, which is Alcoholics Anonymous. Yeah. And I've been there for almost 7 years now. And I remember that being part of AA, part of your recovery, is you have to contribute. I've seen so many people come to meetings where they want to live a life of sobriety, but they don't contribute to their sobriety. They don't contribute to the group. And the next thing you know, you hear that they've relapsed. So let's say, you know, you're not people maybe listen to this, they're not a recovering alcoholic like I am. So let's say you belong to another group, let's say like Toastmasters. I'm just going to use an example. If you don't contribute to Toastmasters, then you're never going to be able to benefit from the group giving you feedback on how to grow as a person to become a better communicator. So you have to be active in your growth. And it goes back to what you just said a little bit while ago, Chef, it's about accountability. Yeah. I mean, it's nice to be part of a group that holds you accountable, but if you can't hold yourself accountable to contribute, then you're not going to go anywhere. It's like being in a rowboat on a beach. You're going to be rowing the sand the entire time and you're never going to get off the beach and move forward.
I love that. There's a lot of activity, no productivity. Because for me, that goes into,
exactly.
goes into for me, number seven. And that's more a recommendation. And I use me as an example. I'm a big believer in the ACF. Love ACF. I'm actually doing an event Monday night at the ACF in Boston. I love ACF. I was like, oh my God, I need to get to the RC, which is the Research Chefs Association. I went to the, and I always felt I didn't fit in. And I think it's okay if you go to a group and it's not your thing. Maybe it will be in a year or two, but don't get discouraged. Find yourself a group. And the only recommendation or the only antidote I have for you, if you walk into that room and a half hour into conversation, you feel like I know all of these people for all my life. If you feel like that, you're in the right group. And with our mastermind group, we have it structured. By the way, Lawrence is our co-host for our mastermind group. He's doing an amazing job. And we have three rules: no bullshit, no ego, no lie. And it makes it really easy to communicate around that. So if you have belonged to a group and it just didn't get anything out of it, go back to what we said earlier, actively contribute. And if you feel like you don't fit in, that's okay. I felt like that. I love the International Corporate Chefs Association. I wish I could do more with them. I love those people. And there's just some group of which are not your fit, and that's totally okay. Mm-hmm. Don't give up. Make sure you're in a group all the time. I'm currently in six different groups, and two of the groups, I can't wait when we come on. The group is amazing. I love contributing. We set ourselves, Lawrence knows, we set ourselves 1 hour meetings and we talk for three, but we hit the right meeting. And if somebody after 2.5 hours says, I got to go, I need to put the kids to bed. Totally okay. It's totally okay. I think we all need that piece in. So how do you feel about finding a group? And so for me, I think there's two other things. I'm sorry, before we turn it over to you, I used to find my groups in industrial conferences or industry conferences. And then I started going to meetups. And what I learned on the meetups, it was great, but I didn't get out as much as I started going to my people, which were chefs. Because if you go to, I went to my very first Chamber of Commerce meeting. And there was people which knew each other for 40 years. They got drunk before I even got my name signed, because they just there as a social event. It was not a good fit. It was not a good fit. And so I think what COVID did is being part of a virtual group, you can get a lot of value even out of a virtual group. I don't think you need to be in person. And it's also great what I love about the virtual groups. I don't need to get in a car. I don't need to drive anymore. I don't need to find parking. It's so much easier, using any of those platforms.
Yeah, I think the virtual groups it allows me to get down to business quicker. Mm-hmm. I think people kind of, when you're in a physical group, which is great. I mean, like you said, there's a lot of mingling. People know each other. There's kind of cliques. People kind of just gravitate towards each other because they know each other, or they go to church together, or they hang out together in other types of social groups. But when you're online, when you're on virtual, I have a feeling, I feel like if we all come together for one purpose, we get to that purpose more quickly. It's more easily to share information through the chats and through the emails and by pushing content throughout the meeting. So people are all constantly still engaged and we're all like staying on subject. So I found the virtual being more beneficial than being in person. Now there are times where being in person is definitely outweighs being on virtual. And like, for instance, being part of AA, I found being in person is way more beneficial for me than being in virtual. But mastermind and trying to collaborate, being online is like you can find other people who are like-minded, who share the same feelings and thoughts and values as you all over the world. Mm-hmm. And then they're bringing their different perspectives based on where they live. I'm near San Diego. So we all are going to have our own perspective of like what weather and what Southern California life is. But when I meet someone like you, Chef, and you're in Connecticut, you have a whole different perspective just because your environment is different. Yeah. I mean, you just had your first earthquake today. And then while you're telling me, I'm like, well, I lived through very many of them here growing up in Southern California.
And it's so true. And also what I like on virtual is we have, look, one of our members has young children. So he mm-hmm. doesn't come into the beginning. He's yeah. able to be there on the tail end of the meetings. And I think virtual allows you to do that because I could still put my kids to bed and listen in because most of the mm-hmm. time she says, hey, I'm not going to contribute, but let me listen in. It's different than doing it in person. So I think there's benefits on both. And if you choose to be part of a group, make it fit what fits your lifestyle. Maybe sometimes it's in person and sometimes you go to one of them, which is virtual. So I love that virtual exists and everybody these days knows how to use Zoom.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's become, thanks to COVID, it's now become part of our life.
And I absolutely love that. So we almost on the end, but before we get to number 8, which is our last one, I encourage you guys to check out the disruptivechef.club, which is our private community where we continue on this conversation. When we have some new stuff, you get front row seat. We send you service on how to make our programming and our conversations better. It's just a really cool group to be part of. We don't expect a lot out of that group. We just contribute and just give us some feedback on it and how we do. So if you haven't done so, get to the disruptivechef.club, be part of our club, our private community, and get the front row seat of all great things we do. And if you just logged in, my name is Christian. I'm the host of the Disruptive Chef Entrepreneur Show. I'm joined here by my co-host, Jeff Martin. And this week and three more weeks, we're talking about our special series, how to get from chef to entrepreneur and how to get from chef to anything else you want. And we just need to come up with a better name of that. But currently, chef to entrepreneur, and we share the tips, tricks, and tools we have learned to help you kind of shorten your learning curve. And my point number 8 and my final point is, share personal stories. Mm-hmm. Share not just, funny stories or whatever. Share personal anecdotes. Share personal stories. Because when you do that, you get to know people within your group in a whole different level. And if I hear people's personal stories, it kind of helps me to kind of figure out who they are as a person. And for me, it's really important because if somebody sits just always in the quiet, that's tough. We talked about it, actively contributing. But for me, number 8, our final thing is to get the most out of being part of a group. Share personal anecdotes, share personal stories, and, share some of the benefits you learn being part of on what you do. And then highlight those within the community. You know what? By just having those conversations, you will impact other people's life.
Absolutely. I mean, I think what you're saying, Chef, is be human. Mm-hmm. I mean, share what it's like. Like, for instance, for example, for me, it's like share what it's like to be human through Lawrence Martineau. What does my life consist of? And other people are going to come to you and say, I've had that same experience. It's just, again, it goes back to being vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And in a good way. I mean, we're not here to ask you to open up your life about some of your deepest feelings that, and woes. I mean, it's, and there's groups for that. I mean, there are groups for that, but I mean, we're not asking that, but just be vulnerable in terms of like sharing a story that shows that, hey, I need help in these areas of my life. That's awesome. And also be deliberate about it. I mean, be deliberate about being vulnerable and sharing your stories that show like I'm human. I have faults. I have weaknesses. I have certain things that I'm unsure about, and allow other people to come in and kind of give you the props to help strengthen you in certain areas of their life. And then those people who are propping up are going to be sharing stories about where they're having weaknesses that you have a strength that you can help them up. And together you just kind of, you grow a scaffolding of success.
Love that. Love that. I will copy that. Hold on. I'll write that down.
Okay, go ahead.
And it's so true. I absolutely love that, because also when people share their honest story, you know who to connect and who to ask for help. And it's just, for me, there's a lot of power in that. And for me, there's a lot of power in these conversations. And Chef Lawrence, I appreciate you having this conversations with us. So this is episode 2 of 4. And at the next episode, we're going to talk about not just, you know, we kind of started out, hey, these are the ingredients for leadership within our community. The second one is today we're talking about being part of a like-minded community. Next week, we're talking about the power of shared ambition. And that's going to be a really good conversation, because my co-host is amazingly at it. And also, if you haven't done so, please like this episode, share it with a friend, share it with somebody who you feel can benefit from that. And also, leave some comments below. We read every single one of them, because we want to make this more valuable to you. If you give us the gift of your time, so the day beyond for 35 minutes, I want to make sure you get some value and some actionable items out of that. With that, Chef Lawrence, any closing thoughts from your side?
If you're watching this and you've been feeling like you need to find a group or you want to help, start with us. Start with us. I think we're offering it's free for the month, or join just to test drive us, I think you said, Chef. And then the disruptive chef mastermind group. I mean, let's try this out and try us on for size. And if it doesn't work for you, ask definitely Chef Christian, hey, this isn't really working for me, but do you have a suggestion for a type of group that can give me this? And like he says, he's been involved with so many, I'm sure he's more than willing to help you get on the path of success.
No, I love that, because there's so many amazing groups out there. And maybe there's one caveat we need to add. If you find your tribe, your group, your people, give it 6 months. Because it just jumping in and out, no value in that. It's great for camaraderie. It's not really valuable to you. So if you bought off a group, make a commitment, make an intentional commitment that you're going to give this 6 months, because you will get a lot more out of it than coming every other week or doing something else. So for me, if there's one thing I want to finish off with today, you know, don't be a dabbler, you know, stick with it. I think you will get a lot more out of it.
Perfect. Well said.
So, with that, I want to say thank you to Mr. Lawrence. I always love our conversations. We try to keep it to 20 minutes, double thank that you. Time, because he's so good at it. And I can chat with him all the time, because he's part of my people. And I love Chef Lawrence. So, Chef Lawrence, thank you for being here today. And to our listeners, until next time, remember to disrupt your kitchen, fire up your career, stay hungry for change. We are Lawrence and Christian, your disruptive chef entrepreneur hosts. We are signing off. Be the change, be the challenge, and be the chef who sets the world on fire. And we see you next week in our special episode. Thanks, everybody.